that. Well, we are here this morning, and we started a conversation last week talking about preparing for uncertain times, preparing for uncertain times. And there's a lot of uncertainty about tomorrow and even about today. But I want you to know that God, if God is with you, everything will be all right. But you've got to prepare for it. You have to speak to your situation, but look at somebody else that is broken, tormented, and torn today and tell them it's going to be okay. So it's going to be okay. Yeah, it's Genesis chapter 31, verse 3, 17, and 18. And then we're going to slip over to Genesis 32, verse 3, 6, 7, and 9. I'm very specific this morning. It's the whole chapter, but we just have to highlight just a few verses, and then it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Then you got to mark this because I'm going to hit this next week. I might as well tell you. I don't know how to just give some popcorn messages. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you." We could just stop right there, Shrada. God says, I will be. I don't want to run ahead of myself. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Chapter 32, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his father, to his brother Esau, in the land of Seir, country of Edom. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, "We went to your brother Esau, and now he's coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. Then Jacob prayed. Then Jacob prayed. What he did? Then Jacob prayed. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 simply says this. Mark this. There will be terrible times. Perilous times. There will be troublesome times. Is anybody with me? And when will it occur? In the last days. In the last days. And I must tell somebody that these are the last days. Put your Bibles down. Hallelujah to God. As you look at your neighbor and just repeat the subject with me, prepare yourself. Tell them, prepare yourself for the days and the times of uncertainty. If you would be seated for a moment, and I am going to gracefully ask you to fix your eyes now on the monitor.
I'm only going to say this once. We are going on the trip now. It's going to be rough. It's going to feel like it's going on for a long time. So it's going to be hard to stay alert. It's going to be even harder to be quiet, but you have to do both. You have to do every single thing I say, or we will not make it. Understand? Under no circumstance are you allowed to take off your blindfold. If I find that you have, I will hurt you. Do you understand? It's cold. We have blankets. Boy, you have your dog. Girl, you have your kitty. This is just a place. There's nothing more that we need from it. Do you understand? And no talking on the river. You must listen as closely as you can. If you hear something in the woods, you tell me. If you hear something in the water, you tell me. But you never, ever take off your blindfold. If you look, you will die. Do you understand?
If you are one of those movie enthusiasts who finds sheer excitement and pleasure watching some hair-raising, spine-tingling, blood-curdling horror movie, then I'm almost certain that you are one of the 89 million viewers that have already seen the highest grossing 2019 thriller, Bird Box. Bird Box is what I would call a dystopian production, and dystopian because it depicts a miserable, dysfunctional state of society that is marred by unparalleled sorrow and suffering. Dystopian, it describes and illustrates a morbid, daunting future that is characterized by some of the most wretched displeasure, or should I say disastrous conditions and calamities ever known to mortal man. Starring world-renowned actress and producer Sandra Bullock, along with Trevante Rhodes, John Malkovich, and Danielle McDonald, Bird Box is based on a 2014 novel written by Josh Malerman. It is a gruesome, dreadful picture that captures some of the most horrendous exhibition of human suffering and grief ever conceived in the minds of mortal man. Created and crafted against the graphic apocalyptic backdrop, the plot unfolds when an unstoppable demonic force captures and annihilates nearly the entire population of a community under siege. Like scattered wreckages, cataclysmic death and destruction litter the streets as this astonishing, unforeseen, bloated, snake-like baby-faced monster with protruding veins covering the entire circumference of his head unleashes indiscriminate carnage and devastation everywhere. Come with me. Now, in as much as the grotesque image of this terrifying monster was not unveiled for us to see, apparently the slightest glimpse of this despicable entity struck paranoia and hallucinatory psychotic reaction in the minds of its victims. One glimpse of this monster creates such a deranged psychological cerebral dysfunction that it instantly drives its victims to a violent suicidal death. Hallelujah. They need only to look into his eyes, and instantly this demonic force captures their greatest fear and then propels them to their death. Creatively laced with horrific heart pounding, adrenaline rushing, unpredictability and suspense, the only certainty we soon discover is this: if you see the monster or look into the eyes, amen, of one of the carriers of this demonic spirit, you are sure to suffer a bloody, dreadful death. The sight of this despicable creature is so maddening. Once you are exposed to it in a savage fit of mental disfiguration, it compels people to kill and to destroy themselves. God, the critical question then is this: how is it possible to shield and safeguard yourself from an invisible, ubiquitous predator who by his very nature is bent on destruction at first sight. Think with me here. How can you protect or secure yourself from an ever-present, untraceable, diabolical force whose location is virtually impossible to detect on your spiritual tracking device? Think with me. Like certain unforeseen adversities, like some mysterious attacks and misfortunes and tragedies, there are things that sometimes hit you like a ton of bricks. You don't know where they are lurking, and you don't know, you have no idea when they're going to strike. Do I have a witness? It just comes out of nowhere, and before you know what happened, you've been clobbered and left with such mortal wound that it's only the grace of God that you're still standing here today. Somebody's listening to me out there who will have to admit that you face something so destructive. You got hit last year with such a devastating, bone-crushing blow. It's only because of God's mercy, hallelujah to God, why you're still alive. Do I have a witness? You have to understand that no matter how fast you run or where you hide, wickedness and iniquity has a way to find you. Wickedness and iniquity is always tracking the believer. It's always tracking those who have become an enemy to hell and a friend of God. Did you hear me, somebody? Hallelujah. You didn't ask for it. You didn't go looking for it. But by virtue of who you are and where you are going, trouble has an imperceptibility. Hallelujah to God. It has this way to find you whether you're expecting it or not. As a consequence, then, in order to face the inevitable trials of life and to survive the evil days, wisdom dictates that you've got to devise and formulate a survival strategy. Did you hear me, somebody? As we are facing this season, I hope that you have a survival strategy. It is said that every person that owns a house, hallelujah to God, should always have a fire strategy just in case you cannot go through the front door. Hallelujah. It should be the nearest entrance, even if you have to break a window. But we're not going to die in this one this time. We've got to find a way out. And it's always best to have a plan before you need one. Oh, can I help somebody today? They say you've got to have a strategy in order to survive the treacherous topography of uncharted territory. Hallelujah. You are going to traverse, if you are going to traverse the Sahara Desert, or you're going to climb Mount Everest, besides proper gear, explorers warn, you had better make sure that you pack a survival kit. Say amen, somebody. If you are going into the danger zone and you cannot predict or discern what you are going to expect, you've got to have yourself a survival kit just in case you get stuck, hallelujah, in a place of isolation and desolation. And if you and I are going to come out of this season alive, hear me when I tell you, no matter what you see, hallelujah, somebody, God told me me to tell you, you had better make sure that you plan to survive. Otherwise, you will not find the enabling strength or the intestinal fortitude to endure or to overcome the dreadful predicaments that are heading your way. Did you hear me, somebody? But here is my conviction. When this is all over, I'm coming out victorious. Shut them in, somebody. I'm coming out safe and sound in my right mind on the other side of death and disaster. Do you hear me, somebody? I'm coming out the victor, not the victim. I'm coming out with victory written all over me. Look at somebody and scream, I'm coming out victorious. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, glory be to God. When COVID is all over, I'm coming out victorious. Somebody say yes. The only hope of survival, hallelujah to God, for these people was to make sure they did not meet eye to eye with this monstrous demon. Thus, in order to eliminate any possible chance of coming in contact with this malignant, amen, monster, the main character, hallelujah, in the Bird Box had to barricade themselves in an enclosed area where not even a shadow of an external reflection could penetrate their hideout. Come with me. I'm going to make some of you go home and watch it, but it's terrifying. In order to avoid coming face to face with this demonic entity, they had to go in lockdown. They had to go into hiding to maintain their sanity, hallelujah, and to escape the annihilating force of this invisible entity. They had to cover up all the windows, hallelujah. They got to cover up the glass doors and go into hiding. Contextually speaking, my brothers and sisters, there are those times in our lives when we find ourselves totally surrounded and bombarded, and in order to escape the deadly forces that come to strike your house with terror, hallelujah, in order to escape this invisible foe, all we can do is run into the presence of the Lord and take courage under the shadows of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Am I preaching to myself? When I'm confronted with the maddening fears caused by desperate days and trying times, hallelujah to God, and trying not to lose my mental equilibrium, hallelujah to God, my brothers and my sisters, I've got to hide myself into the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. And the mystery of it all is the reassurance of knowing that God will hide you. Hallelujah to God. He'll hide you in plain sight. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. In close proximity of your enemies. Come on and say amen, somebody. Come on and say amen. And then he will shield you by his strong armor so that the devil can do you no harm. He'll build a wall. He'll barricade you, hallelujah, in. He'll hem you in. He'll send his angels to stand before you and tell the devil, touch him if you dare.
Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Like he did baby Moses, the Lord will hide you in the west wing of your assassin's palace and then cause you to sit, hallelujah, safe and sound, eating plenty, hallelujah, at your enemy's table for 40 long years until he transitions you into your next assignment. Come on and say amen, somebody. You sitting here worrying and trembling, can't eat your food, hallelujah, can't think, can't work because of what is happening. I come to tell you, sit down and eat. That's what he told Elijah. Sit down and eat, for the journey is long. Come on, somebody. It might be long. It might be an extended thing. So you got to full up. You got to full up physically. Hallelujah, somebody. And you got to fill up spiritually. You got to have so much of God in the presence of your enemy. Ain't God good? He'll spread you a table in the presence of your enemy. Somebody ought to shout, take me to the presence of the Lord. Take me to in the presence of the King. Shout, I'm saved. Yes, yes, yes. Can I tell you, somebody, that he will hide you? Yes, he will. He will hide you in the presence of your enemies. The Lord will hide you, hallelujah, to God, until the enemy, hallelujah, he who is before you can't see you. Somebody didn't believe me, but like he did for Daniel, I'm here to tell you that God has a way to hide you in the presence of your enemies and then, hallelujah, restores your soul. He'll hide you among jaw-breaking, flesh-eating, hungry lions. Keep you there for a whole night, and all the while he blinds the eyes of those who've been assigned to rip and tear you apart, so that although, hallelujah, within close proximity, they can do you no harm. Can I say to you today, I need to tell somebody out there, your life is in danger, but may God blind corona. May God blind COVID-19. May God blind the eyes of death until it cannot touch you. You're in the midst, you're surrounded by the disease and the dying, but God, hallelujah, has blinded your enemy. Somebody say yes. May God render your oppressors powerless. Somebody ought to give God the praise, or somebody ought to give God the glory. May God silence, may God disable, may God dismantle the plans of the enemy, so that what was meant to kill you turns around to bless you. Somebody see us. Somebody shout hallelujah.
I know you think I came here to play games, because what we're dealing with is not playing with us. So then, while you over there worrying about what's happening in this apocalyptic era, hallelujah, of imminent disaster, I've found safety. Can I tell you, somebody? Found safety and security
in the Lord. Somebody's running scared, but amidst global catastrophe, political upheavals, civil unrest and financial turbulence, Dr. Bishop, what are you doing? Well, I got to let you know, hallelujah to God, I got one simple answer for you. I'm hiding in the Lord. Oh God, terror around, all around, but I found sweet consolation in Psalms 27 and 5, which assures us that in the day of trouble, shouted, he shall hide me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. Bible says he will hide me, he will lift me up on a rock to stand. Say amen, somebody. We're going up higher, we're not going down. There is an elevation and a promotion that's coming up out of this to those that will be faithful. Troubles sometimes are here, but as well up Psalms 32 and the verse 7 declares, you, O Lord, are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. Shout hallelujah. I don't know how you see it, but I believe Guy Penrod was right on target when he wrote, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me, can I testify? He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasures I see. Can I tell the story? He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock. He hided my life in the depths of his love. And what did he do? He covered me there with his hands. Ask me again, what's my survival strategy? And I'll quickly tell you, I'm hiding in the Lord. Tell somebody, I found a hiding place in Jesus. Come on, somebody, touch your neighbor and tell him, I found a hiding place in Jesus. Somebody ought to shout, hide me, Jesus. Somebody scared stiff, hide me, Jesus. Come on, sickness in your body, hide me, Jesus. Come on, hide me, Jesus. Come on, hide me, Jesus. Hide me from my family, frenemies. Oh, you didn't hear me, somebody. Hey, not only your enemies you ought to be afraid of. Hide me from my frenemies that smile in my face. They're getting ready to stab me in the back. He'll hide you. He'll hide you from the tempest storm.
See, I don't understand. If you come from a good family with a good father, I was only scared once at nights in my house when my father was not around. You understand? But if dad was in the house, whether it be a human monster or a ghostly monster, there was a kind of settled peace in my mind because I just felt like dad could handle it. We didn't have guns back then in the country, but dad had what they call a 28. That was a machete. You don't know nothing about this here in the U.S., so let me break it down for you. You see, when you buy one of those machetes, they didn't have lawnmowers and all that kind of stuff back then. No, we didn't know nothing about that. They had their machete and they would use it to cut grass. And, you know, that's what farmers would use. You know, come on here, somebody. But when you buy that machete, you buy it and you buy it dull. Are you hearing me, somebody? And depending on the power and the exactitude that you want to produce from this instrument, Dad would sit there for a whole half a day and he would just file in that thing. He was just sharpening his tool. Oh, my Shanda Brakota. By the time he got done with it, it was a lethal weapon. So in my mind, I knew Dad knew how to work it skillfully so that if a human being came in to do us harm, he was not leaving alive. I want to tell you something today, that we got a God that is greater than my daddy. I wonder, do you know my real daddy, who tells you to call him Abba, Father? What am I, Shandaba? The Lord God Almighty, the infinite one, the sovereign one, the ubiquitous one. Can I tell you that the one whose infinitude cannot be challenged? He is my Father. Tell an host of hell to come against me once my Father is in the house. And you got to be somewhat crazy, because in order, hallelujah, you, in order to destroy my family or my life, you got to take on and take down the strong man. Who is the strong man in my life? His name is Abba. Somebody call his name Father. I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know but thee. If you should draw yourself from me, wither. Tell somebody again. And you need to act like it. I found not just a friend in Jesus, but I found a refuge. I found safety. I found a sanctuary in the secret place of the presence of the Lord. With nearly the entire population completely wiped out by just a single look, the remaining survivors realized that if they could just find a way to prevent themselves from looking at this horrific demonic monster, they could very well survive, hallelujah, seem like imminent death and destruction. Thus, in the previous clip that we just saw a while ago, we see Sandra Bullock, along with two little five-year-old preschoolers, getting ready to embark upon the journey of their lives. Oh, you got to take that journey, otherwise you're going to die right where you are. Too many of us have come into this world, hallelujah to God, and we just get stuck in one area because you are tormented and terrified by fear. Fear of the unknown. Oh, can I talk to you today? Believe it or not, there are some journeys that only faith can get you out of it. And it's not because faith makes things easier or gets you there faster. No. It just makes the victory a whole lot sweeter. Oh, you didn't hear me, somebody? He might not make it easier for you. He might not get you there faster even than your enemy. But the truth of the matter is, in the end, the victory will be sweet. For where God's taking you, you're going to need to gear up your mind with strong faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? Otherwise, you're not going to make it out alive. Tell somebody you need unstoppable faith. Or come and hear somebody, realizing that although they had been kept in safe hiding for the past 5 years, if they were going to experience total freedom, they could not remain in hiding forever. Come on, somebody. If survival was possible, facing the unseen enemy was what I call an unavoidable necessity. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because in order to get to what God has destined for you,
You're going to have to cross over. You're going to have to go through the Red Sea. And if you think it's easier, Red Sea only leads you to the desert. You're going to have to cross Jordan in order to get there. And you don't cross it on a ship or a boat. You need the power of God. You need the anointing of God. You need supernatural faith. Talk to me, somebody. Now, I find it quite interesting that throughout the entire movie, this demonic monster was never seen, even though he is there. Hallelujah. He's not seen, or he's never seen on the screen, and ever, not even once. Yet it caused the death of many. Too many of us have made life-changing decisions because of fictitious hyperbolic, or should I say hyperboles. A terrifying, powerless, suspicion that proves only to be a baseless supposition or superstition. Consequently, then, my brothers and sisters, too often we find ourselves stuck in a cocoon, hallelujah to God, incubated, hallelujah, in a powerless mausoleum, hallelujah to God, unable to move forward, hallelujah to God, and launch out into the deep, all because of the fear of the unknown. But I've come to tell you, glory be to God, like the dove with the leaf and with the branch in his mouth, it's all right to come out now. Are you hearing me, somebody? He hid Noah and his family in a boat with some stinking animals, hallelujah, for 3 months, while the water pressure rose above the highest mountain peak and wiped out everybody else. Yet there was safety in the ark of the Lord. And I come to tell somebody that if God is watching over you, you're coming out alive. When it was all over, there was some residual effect, as it will be for some of us. But hear me when I tell you, glory be to God. In order for Noah to find out if it was time, hallelujah, to move out, if the water level had receded, he sent out the crow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The dove came, and the dove brought a branch to tell him, glory be to God, that it was almost safe. But it was when he sent out the crow, he sent out the raven. The raven didn't come back. Why? Because he found food. He found dead flesh. I'm coming to tell you that God said, not only are you coming out, but you got to know when it's time to come out of hiding. We're not going to hide. We are not going to be on lockdown forever. Glory be to God. We might be locked this year, but I got a feeling, glory be to God, that when the clock turned midnight of this year, it's going to be glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Tell somebody, prepare to evacuate. Tell somebody, I'm not going to let the devil, hallelujah, put a harness and chains on me and lock me down into obscurity. Glory be to God. And trepidation. Tell somebody, we're coming out strong. I don't care who didn't make it. We're coming out like Noah and his family. Say yes, because there's a worship that comes from tribulation that the devil don't like. Lift your hands, open up your mouth, and shout like you've been delivered. Come on, man, baby. Somebody give God the glory.
We don't attempt the monumental. We are scared by what is labeled the mysterium tremendum. We're terrified by every little sound that we hear on the outside, because they have told you, lock yourself up, barricade yourself in an isolated place, and watch how fear torment your mind. Every now and then, though you're working from home, get up out of your house. Get up out of your house and go in the backyard. And if you ain't got a backyard, everybody got a front yard. Are you hearing me, somebody? Even if your house is 6 inches from the street, come on, somebody. Get up and go outside. Take in some fresh air. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes, yes. You gotta exhale sometimes. Take in fresh air. Give your lungs a rest. Are you hearing me, somebody? From the tormenting fear and dread that they're spewing over the television. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah to God. Don't be reckless, but you got to be prudent. Oh, my God. Listen, I got to tell you that our inner fears has the strange metamorphic ability to create and to immortalize, oh my God, its own fictitious monsters. And unless you are willing to face the inner fear with faith, courage, and buoyancy, you will never defeat the monster and free yourself from the unending torment that it imposes upon your mind. Strong physically, but weak mentally will cause you to lose the battle every time. Shema katabriandaba. Come on, somebody. There are certain impending dangers, disturbing phobias. I mean, hazardous threat, frightening probabilities and insecurities that causes us extreme psychological trauma in the mind. And the only way to overcome these troublesome conditions is to face the fear. Fear says stay inside, for there's a lion lurking outside. Not knowing that you will die inside, maybe not as quick as outside, but you will die anyway, because everything you need for survival is outside. I don't care how you stockpile an emergency kit, you stay there too long and it will run out. Is anybody going to hear me, somebody? So every now and then, in order to preserve your life, you are going to have to venture outside. Oh, God, have mercy. Look at somebody, not everybody, because some ain't got no sense, but look at somebody and tell them, you got to venture out there. Go on. They want to lock up your dreams. Lock up your visions. They want to stifle and stagnate your ability to progress and to prosper. But the devil is a liar. I may be in the death zone, but I promise you I'm not going to live under a culture of fear and trepidation. Oh, I feel God here now. Her only way to escape was to get out of town. But the only safe getaway meant facing the enemy head on. She had to put, you don't win a championship fight against your opponent standing outside the ring. Glory be to God. You got to face it. Look at somebody and tell them you got to face it. Glory be to God. You got to go out. She had to put, watch this, she had to put her children in a rowboat and paddle for 24 hours through. A numerous defying a hazardous twist and turns of a treacherous meandering river. And the most viable solution to this
deadly conundrum was to wear, oh my God, can we step it up a little higher? The only way to navigate her way through this deadly conundrum and this troublesome river was to go with it blindfold. They had to wear blindfolds over their eyes so as not to look at the satanic monster they were bound to encounter along the way in order to survive. Watch this. In order to survive the inescapable deluge, they had to give a blind eye to the enemy. They had to give a blind eye to the agent of destruction that was waiting to ambush and to ruin their lives. What are you saying to us, Bishop? Glory be to God. According to Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 22, the Bible says that the eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, you've got to guard it from satanic penetration. Did you hear me, somebody? Don't you dare allow what you see to drive you to an ultimate untimely death because a negative response to what looks completely hopeless can cause brilliant, gifted, promising, unstable, insecure believers to wound up in a bad body bag with no possible hope of redemption. The only way to reverse certain tragic outcome is to blind your eyes. I said blind your eyes to what's trying to derail and endanger your future. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now this is why we read Mallory, hallelujah to God, played by Sandra Bullock, earnestly. We hear her earnestly admonishing, telling the children, we are going on a trip now. It's going to be rough. You're going to hear strange sounds that will make it hard for you to stay alert, and even harder to stay quiet. Oh my God. But under no circumstance, never, ever take off your blindfold. Glory be to God. Why? Because if you look, you die. Are you hearing me, somebody? Let me pick it up here to tell you that according to Thomas Fuller, 17th century English, clergyman, seeing is believing, he says, but contrary to the popular idiom, in certain aspects of life, how you see what you're looking at can literally kill you. Did you hear me, somebody? Oh my God. If you can't handle it, you better put on your blindfold. I feel like preaching today. Something, sometimes seeing is consummate. Amen to dying. Look and you die. Why? Because now you see how you see what you are looking at can kill not just your vision. It can kill your hopes. It can kill your dreams. And without a doubt, it can destroy your life.
There are so many people today that are homeless, on the streets, eating out of garbage can, because they saw something their mind was not prepared to handle. And like a blown fuse, one look so traumatic, whether seeing it done to somebody else when they were too young, or having it done to them, one look and they are a psychological basket case today. Sometimes you think you can handle some things that you see others struggling in. But I'm here to tell you, don't ever compare yourself where you are, what you have, what you have accomplished with the have-nots in society. Because you don't know the hell that they saw at some opportune time in their lives that somehow has disabled, scrambled their minds, and disabled their ability to move beyond this. Are you hearing me, somebody? Is anybody going to talk to me here? Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, watch this. You've got to be careful what you look at because it can kill you. Can I take my time and teach it now? To tell you, because you don't believe me, that Judas hung himself because he saw betrayal as the unpardonable sin. Lot's wife, died along the pathway towards freedom and destiny. She was left frozen in time because she took one hard look at what she had left behind. The 10 spies, and that's the problem. Some of you just can't leave it behind. The truth is, it has happened. And you are in a temporary situation. Things don't ever tell yourself that things will never be the same again because you have left some things behind. Leave it behind, because when God allows, hallelujah to God, when God destroys some things behind you and tell you to go up to the mountain, it is to prepare for you, brothers and sisters, something that is so incomparable, hallelujah, to what you've left behind. Got your mind stuck in yesterday so that you cannot enjoy the blessings of today nor anticipate the glories of tomorrow. Me, I'm always before today. I'm always into tomorrow even when I'm into today. Are you hearing me, somebody? When I get done preaching on Sunday mornings, I'm all the way before Sunday night, all the way into next week, what I'm going to say. While I'm writing this message this morning, I'm thinking about what next week is going to say. I'm living an optimistic life. It is the only way to live a peaceful life, because there is enough troubles and traumas, my God in heaven, to fill every, every psych ward that there is. You got to hear me when I'm telling you what I'm telling you here today. She was left frozen in time because she could not leave what was behind. The 10 spies died and was buried in the sandy desert because they kept their eyes glued on a giant instead of having their faith fixed on Jehovah. You didn't hear me. Peter almost drowned because of how hopeless things appeared when he looked at the troublesome sea. If you keep your eyes fixed on all the dangers around you, fear is bound to drag you down to an early grave. Therefore, you got to blindfold your eyes. Hallelujah. You got to blindfold the eyes of your mind so that when you hear the maddening sounds, hallelujah to God, the maddening sounds of the national death rate, and you see the cruelty and devastation, hallelujah to God, on your floor or on your wall. Word. As a nurse, you don't just knee keel over and die because things look so hopeless. Hallelujah. Like a mask over your mouth and nose, you've got to apply your spiritual blindfolds. Hallelujah, somebody, in order to block out certain images that utterly destroy upon contact. You've got to guard your mind so that you don't allow what you see to discombobulate your mind, to fragment your psychic and bankrupt your faith. Am I talking to anybody? Thus, as we voyage through this perilous season, I might as well tell you that things are going to get a little rough. There's going to be some dreadful mind-altering provocations and disturbances. Hallelujah, upper air.
said, you're going to hear some frightening reports that will make it hard for you to stay alert, for you to stay focused, and even hold on harder to hold on to your faith. But hear me when I tell you, under no circumstance, never, ever, hallelujah, take off your blindfold. Why? Because if you keep on looking around on what's happening, chances are you are going to lose your psychological composure. You better hear me today. There are some treacherous, gloomy days up ahead. And in order to escape what's coming your way, you'll have to face all the chaos and the madness. You gotta face it blindfolded with unshakable, unmovable, strident faith. Well, come on and say yes. Come on and say yes. Somebody is asking, preacher, you don't make sense right now. What then is the blindfold? After all, we can't just sit around here, amen, pretending that all the death and destruction is just a bunch of hyperbolical fake news. Well, come on, somebody. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what it is. Faith is the believer's blindfold. You didn't hear me, somebody. I didn't write it from a book. God spoke to me all week long. He said, tell them faith is the believer's blindfold. Yes, like a sunscreen, sunscreen lotion, like a sun blocker. You got to use your faith to reflect and protect you from what you see. Come on with me, so that when, hallelujah to God, you look at infirmities, when you look at calamities, when you look at the tragedies and the dead bodies laying on the ground, through the eyes of faith, suddenly your outlook begin to change. Suddenly your perspective, your perception, hallelujah, somebody, and your disposition begin to realign themselves with the very mind of God. Are you with me, somebody? You got to understand that faith doesn't mean that you are blind and cannot see. Can I talk to somebody? You need to know that faith simply switches your focus from a marginalized limitation, oh my God, of 20/20 vision to a long range, multidimensional, panoramic, divine, for a divine illumination. It literally broadens and brightens, hallelujah to God, your vision beyond eyesight, whereby you are not just able to see the cruelty, the tragedy, and the calamity, but beyond all of these struggles, beyond the suffering and the sorrow, faith allows you to see a glorious and victorious ending that God has already superimposed into the equation. Faith magnifies what you are afraid of in order to make you see that what looks so dangerous, I mean disastrous, I mean contemptuous, calamitous, and completely hopeless, is only a blurred, skewed, amen, distorted shadow of a miracle in the making. Did you hear me, somebody? That is why you cannot allow what you see to impede, amen, or invalidate the wonder-working power of the Almighty. Are you hearing me, somebody? You got to be careful how you see what you're looking at. No matter how dreadful trials may appear, faith allows you. You see, when you put on the blindfold of faith, watch this.
everything around you, you kind of block it out. So in the midst of the crisis, you're not looking on what's happening around you. You are receiving another transmission from above. Would you come with me, somebody? I know you don't. Faith allows you to envision a triumphant end from the very beginning. Are you hearing me? Even when faced with the threat of inescapable death and incurable anguish, faith allows you to speak with resolute assurance, like we saw in Genesis 22 and 5. Knowing, watch this, that he had been commissioned to slaughter his own son. Faith, on the other hand, saw God creating a preordained alternative. Come, somebody. You got to look beyond what you see. Yeah, watch this here. He saw God creating a preordained alternative. Thus, with absolute confidence, Abraham said to his servant, "Stay here. Where I'm going, you ain't got the faith to deal with it. Stay here because you can't handle what God's getting ready to put me through." The devil didn't send Abraham up to the mountain to kill his son. And God will sometimes make some delirious propositions to you, one that you cannot deny if you have faith in God, but one that has the propensity to destroy everything inside of you. So Abraham had to go up, geared up with his faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? So he says to the man, and we know he's now stepped out of the immortal. He stepped into the supernatural, and he begins to speak not from his soulless self, not from the flesh. He begins to speak now from a higher dimension, glory be to God, of confidence. And he says to the servant, "Stay here with the donkeys." That's the problem. Some of you taking folks with you that will become a burden to pull you down. Are you hearing me, somebody? Your assignment is different from everybody else. But I will tell you this, that God has given you the equipment necessary to survive and succeed and to pass the test that God is placing upon you. Stay here with the donkeys while I and my boy go over there. Watch this. Over there to do what? To worship. Oh, come on, somebody. And after that, watch this now. After that, we. How you get we out of it? Because your son is going to die by God's request. But what? Faith. Faith says after this. Somebody shout after this. Somebody lift your hands and shout after this. Somebody lift your hands and shout after this. What you gonna shout? Shout, "I'm coming back." After this, I'm coming back. After this, me and my son, we are coming back to you. In other words, take a good look. Hallelujah to God. Because when this battle is over, when this trial is over, Bob Marley says, "Them are tired for some fears." Are you hearing me, somebody? Or you think that we're going to be in the grave? Oh my God, but the visibility, hallelujah to God, of my identity and my popularity is getting ready to go to another level. Come on, Mandebe. Somebody begin to testify. I'm coming back. Somebody shout, "I'm coming back." Well, I'm getting ready to close in a few. What am I shunned about? Shout, "I'm coming back." I see some of you are planning to die. Well, glory be to God. And somebody somewhere got a sermon, hallelujah, to preach over your body. But I'm here to tell you that no hair's going to walk over my grave. Hallelujah to God. Not in
in this season. I'm coming back. Look at somebody and tell them, my faith is my GPS.
Ralph,
they don't know what I'm talking about. Because as I was getting ready to run upstairs and get prepared to come here to tell you about preparing, hallelujah, for an uncertain journey. Oh, Myrna was just hissing in my ears. Get up out of there. You got enough. And as I ran upstairs, the Holy Ghost said, run back down. He dropped something in my spirit. He said, I want you to testify and tell them that faith is my GPS. Oh, God, can I tell you what I'm showing? Or can I show you what I'm telling you? Glory to God. GPS is a global positioning system, hallelujah, of over 30 plus navigational satellites. You can't see them, which are constantly circling the earth. Come with me, somebody, way up in outer space. There are satellites, hallelujah, that are constantly surveying, sending out signals. Come on, somebody, sending out signals back to earth. GPS, the GPS receiver in my phone, it listens in to all of the signals, and once the receiver calculates its distance, amen, from four or more of these GPS satellites, hallelujah, it can figure out not just where I am, but where I need to go and how to get me there. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. Now, if I am dependent solely on my instinct to go from here to California when it's all over, not only will I not get there, but I will be shredded, hallelujah, in confusion and frustration and still not get to my destination. But hear me, somebody. If I depend on my GPS, it provides me with precise, definitive direction from start to finish. It informs me of any hazardous traffic conditions. If an accident is up the road, it will advise me if I need to detour, hallelujah, or stay on track. Similarly then, my brothers, faith is my navigational compass that helps me to direct, that helps to direct my life. So when things, hallelujah, get a little out of hand, when I'm dealing with something and I don't know what decision to make, I simply tap my GPS. I tap into my faith. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. I tap into my faith, and it gives me clear, concise direction. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. When it looks discouraging, faith guides me in a path of hope and optimism. I don't worry when the GPS is in my house, in my car. Hallelujah. I know it will guide me to my destination. I don't worry despite what is happening when my faith is at a high alert, for I know it will guide me where I need to go. I don't know what you're looking at, but my faith says everything is going to be all right.
Faith, I got to tell you this before I go. Faith is not blind as some suppose. Rather, faith And I'm talking about Christ-centered faith. Because everybody believes in something. Even the devil believed in him. And believed that he could overthrow God. And get away with it. Even the devil thought that somehow he could try to overthrow God's kingdom and then fly away on a red carpet with 10 million people singing Hail to the King. But God had to deal with him. So I ain't talking about no natural faith. I'm talking about the faith in God. Faith allows you to catch a glimpse of an embryonic unknown future and then empowers you to hold on for dear life until a not yet reality finally comes into fruition. God, I feel like saying it again, but it's on Facebook, so go check it out. Glory be to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you today. According to Romans chapter 4 and verse 7, faith gives you the audacity. The audacity to call into reality things that are non-existent as though they are. Because everything that is manifested in the physical realm that is exposed to the optical eye already existed in a dimension beyond time, a dimension that's called eternity. God saw you millions of years ago walking down the aisle to receive your PhD degree. Is anybody with me? Every accomplishment, every defeat, every dream and vision fulfilled, God planned it that way. You don't hear me, somebody? And in order then for you to catch a glimpse of where you are on God's radar, he uses faith as a divine agent to illuminate your eyes and to enlighten you about you. You say, no one understands me, but God knows you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Faith is not blind. It gives you that ability to call things into existence. I want to tell those who are under the sound of my voice that the headlines clearly suggest that things are projected to get, horrendously boisterous and tempestuous. No matter how dark and scary it gets, never, ever remove your blindfold. That thing called faith. Why? Because if you are going to survive this season, you're going to need the kind of faith that Mallory had when she chose to tackle the raging, dashing billows with her five-year-old in a paddle boat, blindfolded. Listen to me. It's about to get really dark and dismal in America and in the world at large. But I need you to remember Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So even when it gets dark in your city, even when it gets dark on your job, even when it gets darker in America, my whole life is filled with the light of God. I'm able to survive. I'm able to deal with the terrible times and the difficult days if I've got my blindfold on. They said if you keep your mask on, especially when you get in public, especially when you are found among one or two persons, do not fool yourself into thinking, oh, she's my friend, he's my brother, so we safe. What you mean? You're dealing with an invisible monster outside the door.
And you don't really have to touch. I know they're telling us to, you know, knock fists or whatever. But you don't have to touch. You don't have to talk. Just one sniff. You didn't hear me. Just one sniff of what they've got on them, and you are down. And if you're not careful, for the count. That's all it takes. So if when church is over and pastor don't come down and hug you and kiss all the mothers like I used to, don't feel bad. I'm prepared to stick around and to survive, be around long after Corona is gone. And if you don't want to follow your pastor and be wise and be cautious and be careful to hide yourself in God and exercise wisdom, you can just find yourself trapped. Don't get reckless like some among that we've seen on TV, acting as if they are invincible. And then even some that exploit faith and say, well, you know, I believe in God. Nothing will happen to me. Did you hear what Mallory Sandra Bullock told the two little children? That she delivered, watch this, those were pandemic babies. They were delivered in a pandemic. One of them, the mother died in it. Go and watch the movie, it'll make sense to you. The mother died in it. And on her deathbed, she told Sandra, says, if I don't make it, take care of my child. She prophesied her death. Stop talking about if I don't make it out of here. I'm going to make it out of here. I'm going to make it out of this. If you keep on telling yourself, if you keep on telling yourself, I might not make it, every time you cough, hell says, yeah, yeah, you got it. Yes, yes, yes. You got to be careful. And you're running down the steps and you're running and you're taking this and you're drowning yourself. And you're gagging on all kinds of stuff just because a little sniffle. Like, you know, no common cold exists anymore. It's just Corona. The devil is a liar. Are you hearing me, somebody? These are uncertain times. And you've got to understand. You've got to prepare for it. But she told them, little children, 5-year-old, no matter what happened, do not remove those blindfolds or you die. Well, government is telling us too, no matter what happens, don't take off your mask or you die. And I am telling this congregation and the community out there, especially the community of believers, do not remove the blindfold of faith over your eyes, or you will be exposed to the poisonous words of apprehension and fear and trepidation that is being spewed into the air. You will be consumed. Some of you have been hit by COVID, and the only reason why you survived it was because you believed that God is able to keep that which you have committed unto him until that day of your departure. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, all I'm saying is, and I'll pick up from here next week, all I'm saying is, we're getting ready to go on a journey. And some of us have been on the journey. And I don't want to scare you. Next week, we'll pick it up from Jacob. And I don't want to scare you. But Jacob was really scared. And we'll talk about that next week. He was really scared. Yeah, you'll hear me talk about it. He had been away for 20 years. And where he went to, God didn't send him there. But God kept him there for 20 years. Yeah. And sometimes you find yourself in a place where you know you were not under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But the grace of God keeps you in a place that you don't belong. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he has buried your, watch this, He's buried your miracle and your destiny someplace else. Where you are planted, that's where your harvest is. So God says, Jacob, and I should title this third part next week, let the journey begin. Mm-hmm. Javi, it's only a journey. Every journey has an end. But do not die on your journey towards destiny. Are you hearing me, somebody? Do not die on your journey towards the path of freedom. Because as you will see next week, Rachel started on that journey with Leah and the children of Israel. Watch this. All his children and all their herdsmen and all their servants and all their handmaids. But Rachel didn't make it. Oh, God, I didn't even see this. And I'm done. Rachel did not make it. Rachel died, watch this, giving birth. Rachel died giving birth along the way to destiny. You know why? Because Rachel did not pack faith with her. How do I know that? Because Rachel was as scared as her husband, Jacob. But while Jacob was covered in faith, watch this, Rachel stole her daddy's idol and sat on it. And when he chased after and told Jacob, you cannot travel with my God, and you stole my idol, and I want it back. And watch this. You got to be careful. Watch. You got to be careful what you say during these times. Watch this, Pamela. And so Jacob said to him, go search. Watch how Jacob is going to write Rachel's death wish. He says, listen, have I stolen anything from you for these past 20 years? Did I rob you? Did I cheat you? Why would I take your God? Okay, go search. Search everything and everybody. And if you find your God and if you find your idol, let that one die. He said it in ignorance, and you better shut your mouth. Don't say nothing. And what is going on in this corona? Don't say nothing negative over your life, over your family, over your friends. Don't say nothing negative. If you don't understand it, just shut up. Jacob says, whoever you find it with, let them die. Well, they search and they search and they couldn't find it anywhere. And the only place else that they had to search was in Rachel's camel. They searched the camel, but there was nothing in it. And when they came, Laban came, Rachel says, Daddy, have me excuse. Because I'm having an invisible visitor. And I cannot get up. So the custom was that if you were having companionship with such a visitor, only the ladies would understand me. Yes, you had a legitimate excuse, because if a man touched you in that position, any kind of a way, you would be he and you would be considered unclean. So you know what that rascal did? She was so intimate with her God that she sat on it. Jacob was married to this woman for 20 years. And while she served Jacob well, she did not serve Jacob's God. For who you turn to in times of trouble determines who is your God. She sat on it. And guess what? She did not even get the chance to complete the journey. She died along the way. She died for two reasons. She didn't pack faith in God. She packed it in a false God. And then her husband, not knowing, underwrote, signed off endorsed her death. Brothers and sisters, this journey requires a strident, unshakable, unbroken, unmovable faith. As you stand with me, I hope you're prepared for what's coming. Batten down your windows and the doors. Make sure that all the stakes are fully grounded, because though the storm winds may blow, I'm going to tell you that God is going to keep you safe and secure. Refuge, and those of you listening to me from out there, you must be people of faith. Unbroken, unshakable, unmovable faith. Lift your hands with me. Father, today we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence and for your spirit that is moving in our lives. We thank you for the word of encouragement, the word of empowerment, the word not just of inspiration, but the word that serves as medication to our wounded, broken spirit. Truth is, God, somebody that is out there, somebody in here, somebody around here is nervous and terrified, traumatized by what they see day after day. They know they've got to make a move. They can't just sit and just vegetate and die. But the will and the power to face what's coming and what is extremely traumatizing. So I ask you today, for somebody that is just listening to me saying, God, I just don't know. Everything in me feels like it's breaking and dying. I ask you, God, would you silence the fear? Father, today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, would you cause your angel to draw closer to your people? Would you cause faith to arise with insurmountable hope and aspiration and comfort? Would you cause faith to become our shield? Cause faith to fill us, oh God, and to empower us with enough resistance to fight against what's trying to destroy us. Hear us, oh God, we pray. And I pray that like the angels of the Lord who encamp around your people, I pray, God, that you will keep us safe until it's over. Thank you for your commitment to us, oh God, for those of us that are living under the grace of God. But then, Father, what about those that are in the hospital today that have never surrendered their lives to Christ, and now they'll never have an opportunity to ever speak again? I beseech you, yet you have plans for their lives. Plans, if not for this world, for the world to come. I ask you in Jesus' name that you will send a messenger their way, a messenger of hope, a messenger that can make the gospel clear to them. Even somebody listen to me right now with alcohol in their veins. Somebody out there probably smoking grass and just feeling kind of, you know, out of it, hiding from the reality of what they're dealing with. I pray today that you will whisper in their ears. I pray that they will see another vision. I pray them, pray that you will bring them to the place of security. I pray that you will bring them to the place of absolute surrender in you. Do not let a soul die in this season, God, without allowing them, giving them a chance, even on their death's bed, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. For others, oh God Almighty, who perhaps even grew up in church and became an agnostic or a total atheist, I pray that during these troublesome times, during these delirious, maddening seasons, I pray, God in heaven, that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. As we face this week, the uncertainty of not knowing what will happen, we are so grateful that you are the God who holds our hands, and our future is in your hands.
So we commit ourselves to you and we ask you, Lord, that when this is all over, may you magnify all that we are and all that we were given to receive. May you empower us, oh God, to make a greater impact on our world around us. And even in this season, may we not slacken up. May we not lag behind. May we, oh God, with divine inspiration, face the howling winds of today and with a sense of faith in God. Help us to climb our mountains. Help us to leap over walls. Help us to accomplish the purpose for which we were sent here. Father, we thank you. I pray that you will canvas the circumference of this congregation. Some are not here, but some are out there, and all of our supporters everywhere throughout the world today, all of the body of Christ, I pray that you will create a Goshen protection. I pray, God, that you will glaze our lives with the blood of Jesus Christ as we hide ourselves in him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Would you say amen?